Welcome to the Premier Foods Interim Management Statement. My name is Sarah, and I will be your coordinator for today's conference. For the duration of the call, you will be on listen only. However, at the end of the call, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. If at any time you need assistance, please press star zero on your telephone keypad, and you will be connected to an operator. I'm now handing over to your host, Michael Clarke, to begin today's call. Thank you.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining this call. I'll give a brief introduction to our first quarter results before opening the call to your questions. I have Mark Moran, our CFO, who's joining me on the call this morning. Earlier today, we issued our interim management statement for the 3 months ending 31st of March 2012. Our group sales were up 1.3% for the quarter versus 2011 at £427 million. Importantly, sales in our power brands, which includes Ambrosia, Batchelors, Bisto, Hovis, Lloyd Grossman, Mr. Kipling, OXO and Charlwood's increased by 3.7%. These results are in line with our expectations and an indication that our growth strategies are starting to bear fruit. Last October, we set out a number of priorities to restore profitable growth. These included focusing investment behind 8 power brands, improving our customer collaboration, and reducing costs. During the first quarter, we launched new TV advertising for Hovis, Mr. Kipling, Sharwood's, Lloyd Grossman, OXO, and Bisto as part of our plans to double the level of marketing investment in 2012. We also expanded our successful Batchelors Fueling Britain promotion that gives consumers the chance to win their fuel costs paid for by Batchelors. Further advertising in support of our power brands is planned in the second quarter, including a new campaign for Ambrosia Rice Pots. During the past months, we've also continued to build our collaborative relationships with customers through working on mutually beneficial initiatives to drive category growth. We've had several joint planning meetings, and our customers are responding well to our new products, our promotions, and the overall approach. As a result of our marketing and customer programs, our power brands have gained market share across their categories for the first time in over a year. In this year of British celebration, we believe there are significant opportunities for British brands like ours, made in Britain, supporting British jobs. You will therefore see a number of initiatives from us that are designed to underline that association as we go forward in 2012. Turning to our two operating divisions, grocery and bread, branded sales in grocery increased by 1.8%, benefiting from strong sales of Lloyd Grossman, Batchelors, and the new OXO reduced salt formats. The new Sharwood's wrap kits that provide consumers with the components needed to make a delicious wrap have also been very well received by customers and consumers. Building on this first quarter success, we have a full program of new product innovation in the second quarter, including the new Batchelors Deli Box range of convenient meals, a wider range of Ambrosia rice snack pots, and a limited edition selection of Mr. Kipling cakes celebrating the Queen's Diamond Jubilee. Put simply, we're working hard to connect with our consumers through new products, new promotions, and communication. Turning now to the performance in the bread business, this has also been encouraging, despite a continued competitive environment. Sales increased 3.1%, driven by bakery, although partly offset by lower milling sales due to a contract loss. Hovis maintained market share, supported by new advertising and the launch of the new Hovis Farmer's Loaf towards the end of the first quarter. This is another new product from Hovis using 100% British wheat. Further innovation plans for Hovis will be announced later in the year. To help fund the investment behind the power brands, we're continuing to reduce costs. The cost reduction program that we announced in January remains fully on track to deliver over £40 million of savings by 2013. While our performance so far has been encouraging, we are not being complacent. The consumer environment continues to be very challenging, with pressure on disposable incomes, high levels of promotion activity across branded players as well as private label, and ongoing cost inflation. Our focus for this year will continue to be stabilizing the business and investing in our recovery. The full year outlook therefore remains unchanged. I'd like to thank you for your attention and would now like to open the line operator to any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask your question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and wish to withdraw your question, please press star 1 again. You will be advised when to ask your question. And our first question comes from the line of Chris Hallam from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Hi. Just two quick questions, if I may. First of all, your 3.7% growth in the power brands. Just wondering how that splits out between volume and price, if you want to give those details. And then secondly, on the $330 million of M&A you've earmarked, over the past 6 months, given the macro moves, are you more or less confident in being able to do that 330? And if so, kind of what's driving that opinion?
Just one second. The second question was the divestitures? Okay, yep. Fine.
Yep.
Okay, first question was about Volmix on the power brands. The way you should look at it is about a quarter of the growth is volume and the remaining pieces is through price and mix. And then on your question on the 330, I think it's important to say that when we proposed the financing deal to the pensions, to the banks, and to the swap counterparties, it was actually us proposing to banks, not them telling us what they wanted. We put the structure in place that we felt was the right thing to turn this business around, i.e. a 4.5-year facility, the interest rates that should be charged, the covenant tests, etc. We proposed all of that to the banks and to the pension funds and how everyone should collaborate. We also proposed the divestitures that we're planning to make. We obviously made sure we had ample time in the program to get those divestitures away. I do not want us to be in a rush. I do not want us to do a fire sale, and we will not do a fire sale. And so we've got in excess of 2 years, 2.5 years to do those divestitures. And we feel very comfortable with the timing as well as the amount that we can raise. I would say, Chris, the priority for us on the divestitures remains to bring focus on the core part of the business, which is the power brands and the categories that we operate in, and therefore the support brands in those categories to drive accelerated growth. So focus is the number one reason for the divestitures. Yes, there's a secondary benefit, which is the proceeds, which helps pay down the debt. We have made that very clear to the banks and the pension funds, and they have all embraced it completely, which is why they've given us the 4.5-year window. They've accepted our proposal on the financing arrangements. And as I say, all the terms and conditions were something that we proposed to them in early January.
Okay, thanks very much. Very clear.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Martin Smith from Premier Foods. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Martin.
Morning, gentlemen. A couple of questions. Could you give us just some commentary and colour on where you think margins are trending in the business? I realise Q1 is not a margin release, but it's a legitimate question to ask, I think.
Yeah.
Obviously, what's on my mind is relatively low levels of organic growth, albeit positive, and what I would imagine is still ongoing commodity cost inflation. And I just have a question on the bread business. Could you break out the organic growth rate in the bread business ex milling? It's, my feedback to you would be, I think it would be a useful number to report, because growth in milling is bound to swing around with a wheat price. So those are the two questions.
Fine. Actually, two questions, but probably four parts. So let me just cover each of those, Martin, and great segmentation in the question. First one is on margins. We've seen margin improvement in the first quarter, and part of that is driven, I think, by the mix in our portfolio. Obviously, we have put a lot of effort behind the power brands, which is 70% of our branded revenue, and tends to be higher margin products, both for retailers as well as for ourselves. So hence, it's a no-brainer that we should be supporting that and driving growth in that power brand portfolio. So margin improvement, and I hope we will continue to see margin improvement as we go through the year. That's definitely the intent from the management team. But as you well know, it's a tough market out there at the moment, and there's a lot of promotion activity in the marketplace, not just with A brands, but also with retailer brands. Your second part was on commodities. Yes, like all other food suppliers, we have commodity inflation. I think this team does a very good job at managing the commodities inflation with regard to our procurement strategies, and we have been able to pass on our commodity costs to retailers in the at the end of the first quarter. And would prefer not to get into detail on that. And we know the company stumbled last year with regard to pricing, this is something that I think that we as a management team need to do in the ordinary course of business, and that it shouldn't be something that's made public. You should be able to depend on us that we, in the ordinary course of business, can manage our costs and also manage the revenue line with regard to passing price increases because of the value that we're driving in our brands, not just because of commodities. Big change in mindset for Premier Foods going forward, not just passing on commodities. The third part of your question was organic, about the organic growth. I'll answer it in two parts. You know, there was volume growth in the power brands, which, as I mentioned earlier in to Chris's question, about a quarter of our growth was driven by volume in the power brands. Then volume in bread was pretty much flat, and volume in non-branded was slightly negative. And so that's the mix in the volume of makeup of the business. And then in milling, which is, as you know, a very low margin part of our business, I don't have the specifics on that. Mark, you may have it, or alternatively we can come back to you, Martin, with regard to the milling component within bread. Mark, do you have an answer to that?
I think it's down just over 1% on the milling side.
Milling sales are down 1%, Mark, is that what you're saying?
Just over 1%.
Okay. All right. That's good. Okay. Thanks for that. Okay. It's very helpful. Thank you.
Thanks, Martin.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Robert Dickinson from City. Please go ahead.
Oh, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
You mentioned in the release that you've seen some market share gains for your power brands, particularly towards the end of the quarter.
Yeah.
Could you make any comments around the category growth that there is for those power brands? I'm just trying to get a sense of how dependent your future growth for these power brands is on continuing to take market share versus how much the actual categories are growing. Thanks.
The power brands, obviously there's a wide range of categories that we're talking about, and so averaging is very difficult to. We can give you an average, but it's dangerous to rely on the average because it changes by category. But across the power brands, we saw approximately a 2% growth in value terms of the market, and we saw 2% decline in terms of volume across the power brands categories.
Okay, that's helpful. Thanks.
Right.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. And we have another question from the line of Martin DeVoe from Premier Foods. Please go ahead.
Hey, Martin.
Hi, I think I'm from Investec actually, but
that's okay. You're welcome to be part of the family. You want to be.
It's just a follow-up to the question Robert's just asked. I may be being overly semantic here, but I think what you say on market share on power brands, your actual words are market share gains in power brand categories. Am I to assume that means that it's not the power brands themselves that have grown, but rather secondary brands in the same categories, or am I reading too much into it?
No, good. I'm glad you're clarifying. If there's some confusion there, it's the power brands that are gaining market share.
Okay.
So, no, we're very happy that the power brands are gaining market share, and this happened towards the end of the first quarter, and we've seen that week on week on week now. Which is obviously hopefully something we can continue to maintain through the rest of the year. That would be fantastic, but it's the power brands.
Okay. All right, lovely. Thanks.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Alex Stone from Societe Generale. Please go ahead.
Morning, Alex.
Good morning. Got two questions, please. First one, just on bread. One of your competitors this week announced details of an investment to upgrade production facilities and reduce costs. I was just wondering, when you benchmark Hovis's cost base versus the key competitors, are you happy with current levels of efficiency there, or is this likely to be an area where we might see further restructuring over the next 12 to 18 months? And secondly, just going back to the input costs, appreciate you don't want to give too much detail, but just wondering if you could provide any guidance on what you think the overall level of inflation for 2012 is likely to be, and how this may split H1 versus H2.
Okay. First question on bread and production facility investment and reduction in costs. Great question. One thing that Premier Foods has not been shy to do in the past, and we will not be shy to do in the future, is investing in the infrastructure that we've got in place. As I mentioned in the March presentation, going forward, I'm looking to invest in growth agendas and in driving new products and value and margin enhancement. So continue to invest in our infrastructure to deliver quality and service to customers. On the cost front, I do think there's an opportunity to improve our cost savings in our bread business. I think if you look at historically what our supply chain team have been able to do on the grocery side of the business, even in years when volumes were declining, i.e. we've not been hitting our plans, that team have been able to deliver supply chain productivity and efficiency savings in the grocery side of the business, which I think is very impressive. And I think we have, well, not I think, I know, we've only just now started to unleash them on the bread side of the business, and I think we will start getting improved cost savings and productivity savings in the bread side of the business without compromising quality or service levels. I'm feeling very confident that the guys can do a good job in that area on bread. On your second question on input costs, that's a tough one. First of all, I'm not going to be, to your point, I won't be specific on it, but I think the way we are managing procurement of ingredients, I think is good. We are able to cover ourselves forward in many areas, and I think we've got a team who are very well versed in procurement strategies, and I'm pleased with what they're doing there. And I think I feel comfortable that we can pass those costs on as part of not just a commodity increase, but also a value discussion, a margin enhancement for the retailer and for ourselves, which therefore results in a price increase that needs to be passed on to consumers. And I think it will fluctuate through the course of the year. I can't be specific on first half or second half, Alex.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Charles Pick from Lewis. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I had two questions, please. Firstly, are you able to quantify if there was any sort of drag effect from the delistings that you suffered in 2011? And secondly, on the cost savings, can you give any sort of indication as to how much of that £40 million you would expect to harvest in the current year, or at least what the exit run rate might be at the end of 2012?
Okay. Very glad you asked the first question on the delistings, because obviously that was a high-profile thing that happened last year with selected retailers. That started in the second quarter of 2011. What management did last year, though, was there was a significant amount of short-term trading in the second quarter in June to cover for those potential delistings, which meant, and as I've mentioned before, and I think you will find that this management team will be consistent on this, we will not do short-term trading. I don't think it's a good thing for the business. I don't think it's a good thing for the trade. It leads to bad behaviors, and it's also value destructing. So that is something that we need to cycle in the second quarter, i.e. the significant short-term trading that took place. And as I say, I will not do that in the second quarter of this year. You will see that the delistings in last year really took effect in the third quarter from a revenue point of view. So the major impact was in third quarter and the beginning of the fourth quarter. So from July through to November, if I can be specific, is the time period when Premier Foods in 2011 really got hurt from a revenue point of view as a result of the delistings. We have not got all those products relisted even today. This takes time. You can either buy your way back or you can earn your way back, and I would prefer to earn our way back. I think it leads to the right behaviors between the company and also retailers. And so during the course of 2012, we will continually accelerate and build our availability and distribution as a result of those delistings from last year. So clearly, you'll have a question in your head, so what happened in the first quarter of this year? I think the positive in the first quarter is we cycled last year with still some delisted products currently, and we were able to, I think, deliver a good result in first quarter without any loading or short-term trading in the first quarter. First quarter, we did have, to a very small degree, some benefit from an earlier Easter. Easter was in the first week of April this year. whereas it was the end of April last year. And so I hope that gives you a picture now, just not only of the delistings, but also of what happens first quarter, second quarter for this year, what you should be expecting. The second question you asked was about the $40 million in cost savings. We are very, very much on track with regard to those achieving that $40 million of cost savings. We have always publicly stated that we'll deliver that by 2013. My management team and I are obviously wanting to surprise people and deliver it early, and would love to come back to you later in the year and let you know exactly how much of that is being delivered in 2012.
Okay, thank you very much indeed for that.
But well on track. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, a final reminder, if you would like to ask your question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. We have a question from the line of Charlie Mills from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Charlie. Charlie?
Sorry, I muted myself. Could you just let us know a bit about the A&P that you've got planned this year, particularly sort of remind us exactly how much extra you're looking to put in and how much of that we actually saw in Q1, just trying to get an idea of the phasing of these spends. Thanks.
Yeah. Charlie, we've doubled the marketing spend from last year to this year. Last year, I think, it was $23 million. This year is $50-something million, or $23-25 million last year, $50 million this year. Is roughly the numbers that you should be looking at, and we got off to a fast start. We started our advertising on TV in February, so you will see a fairly even split of that through the course of the year. One might say, well, Holland, you weren't on TV in January. You still have the costs of production, etc., that you're incurring. So a fairly even split in the advertising spend across the year, and I would love to just add this is just building on your question, the reason for going with a fast start on TV advertising was, if you look at our power brands, these are brands that British consumers like and they fond of, and to me the most important thing is we need to contemporize these brands and not have people refer to our brands as, yes, I remember when Mum used to buy Kipling cakes and I was fond of it. We need to contemporize them such that Mum still buys them, but also younger consumers are actually buying into the proposition today. And the best way to do that is to get off to a fast start with TV advertising from a consumer point of view. It was also very important for us to do this with external stakeholders. We wanted the retailers to see we're supporting our brands. We wanted you, the analysts and investors, to see that we're committed to our brands. It's not an afterthought. The investment in our brands isn't if we have leftover money. It's we're going to invest in our brands, and we'll always make sure there's the money, and we'll take costs out to make sure that we can invest in those brands. And finally, I'd say we also wanted to communicate to our employees. This is a team of people, 12,000 people who have worked unbelievably hard in recent years and to be honest, haven't had a lot to show for it. And we're wanting to make sure that employees really get behind the brands and are confident about the brands, the business, and what we're doing, and we'll consistently deliver. That's what we've got to try and do. So if you don't mind, Charlie, off the back of that question, I want to make that statement too.
Sure, thanks.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Lorraine Powell from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Lorraine.
Good morning, Mike. It's Isabella.
Isabella. Good morning.
I'm all dialed in across the rain. Apologies. I just wanted to ask, in terms of the relationship with the retailers, what sort of signs are you getting from them in relation to the improvement there?
Great question. I'm going to go back to when I joined the company 8 months ago, and I think I've mentioned to people on previous calls, I immediately phoned all the CEOs of the major retailers. I knew most of them from my previous life, but I wanted to reconnect as a premier person. And the feedback from the retailers was actually positive. It was, this is just a crying shame, the situation we're in. We've got, fabulous brands. Sorry, you have fabulous brands, but it would just be fantastic if you can get your act together. And we can collectively drive this business, these brands, even harder for the benefit of you, Premier Foods, but, more importantly for us, the retailer. And at the end of the day, the consumer will win also. So we've worked very hard on rebuilding the relationships and the collaboration with retailers. We've had a lot of joint business planning meetings where we've developed joint business plans on what we will do, Premier Foods, over the next 12 months. So, you know, not just by quarter, by month, by week, what's the promotion activity, what's the advertising on each of our brands, and in return, what the retailer will do for us. So kind of like a two-way contract is the way to look at it, which we didn't have in the past in Premier Foods. Everything was done on a, you know, quarterly basis, monthly basis. It was very transactional, and therefore you surprised retailers, and those surprises sometimes led to a positive interaction, and sometimes the surprise would lead to a negative interaction, which unfortunately sometimes would lead to a delisting. Whereas now retailers clearly understand this is what we're doing to market our brands, these are the promotions we're going to do, this is the price increase we've taken, this is what the retailers will do in return, and it's, you know, mapped out for a full year, no surprises, you know, let's get down now to both make money, let's grow the category, and let's make sure that we're exciting consumers with the portfolio that we're offering. And that's what we've been doing with the retailers. It's what you would expect any food supplier to do. And we've obviously had to catch up and do that. A lot of this took place at the end of last year and in the first quarter of this year, these discussions. What will happen is for 2013, we will try and lock in those plans in August, September of this year, i.e. so that we hit the ground running and get off to an even faster start in Q1 of 2013. Hope that answers the question.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. We have no further questions coming through, so I hand the call back over for any concluding comments.
Great. Thank you very much, Sarah. I'd just like to thank everyone that's dialed in. Thank you for your questions. Thanks for taking the time on this call and showing an interest in Premier Foods. Really do appreciate it. And I look forward to talking to you at our half-year results in August. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for attending today's conference. You may now replace your handset.